The title of this evening's shiur is Are We Enjoying Life? Which seems to be a bit strange for this time of year. It's Rosh Chodesh Av, beginning of the 9 days. And we would seem to have in our minds that this is a time to minimize the simcha. As it says, Mishenichnas Av Mematim Simcha, and minimize our enjoyment of life. And that's if we understand properly what it means to enjoy life. And we'll explain why this is indeed a very appropriate title and an idea to speak about in this month. Are we enjoying life? These days, certainly, it behooves us to think about the Beis HaMikdash, the lack thereof, the fact we don't have the Beis HaMikdash now. We should be davening more that the Beis HaMikdash should be restored, rebuilt, should come down from Shemayim. As Chazal tell us, the third Beis HaMikdash will come down, built already, come down from Shemayim. When we think about the Beis HaMikdash and what it was like, life in Eretz Yisrael, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing in full glory, when most of Klal Yisrael lived in Eretz Yisrael, when the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, rested in Eretz Yisrael, and it was very busy. The Beis HaMikdash was busy with their daily offerings, the daily karbanis that the Kohanim brought on behalf of the Tzibur, on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. And there were many mitzvahs that we were obligated to do, we had the opportunity to do, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, and when the majority of Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael at that time. And nowadays, as the Chafetz Chaim already makes the cheshbon, he makes the calculation that almost half of the mitzvahs we're exempt from doing. We can't do them no longer because we don't live in Eretz Yisrael and because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So we're exempt with part of those mitzvahs. Three times a year on Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, we say in the additional prayer in Musaf, we say the following words: "Mibnei chataeinu galinu me'artzeinu." Because of our sins, galinu me'artzeinu, we have been exiled from our land. "V'nisrachaknu me'al admoseinu," and we've been distanced from the land of Eretz Yisrael. We no longer can do the obligations that we had in your home, in your temple, in the Beis HaMikdash. Babayis HaGodol VaKodesh, in this great and holy house that housed Hashem Himself. Because of the hand that was sent forth and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And we lament over this fact that now we no longer are able to serve Hashem in this capacity with the so many mitzvahs that associated itself with the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what we complain about. And that's what we cry to Hashem every Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, people were Eil Regel. People made a pilgrimage to the Beis HaMikdash and brought the karbanis that one is supposed to bring during the Yom Tovim. And we cry to Hashem and say, because of our sins, we don't have this opportunity anymore. Connoting to Hashem that we want it back. And the altar of Kelm, Rav Simcha Zisel, asks the following two questions. He says, I don't understand this part of the davening. We're saying to Hashem, because of our sins, we no longer have the opportunity to serve you in the Beis HaMikdash. We can't do these obligations that we once upon a time had. He says, why are we crying to Hashem about that? We caused that. We caused that with our own sins. We caused that with sinas chinam, that we lost the Beis HaMikdash. So we're crying to Hashem. Oh, it's like a child was given an expensive toy to use as a marshal. A child was given an expensive toy and he fooled around with it and he broke it. And he's crying to his parent, oh, I don't have this toy anymore. You had the tool. You had the opportunity to have it. We're crying to Hashem. Question number one. But question number two that the Alter of Kelm asks, which is really a piercing question that we have to ask ourselves, says we're crying to Hashem that we can't do all of the obligations, all of the many mitzvahs that were associated with the Beis HaMikdash. He says, what about the mitzvahs that we have now? Are we doing them properly? Are we fulfilling all of them that we're asking for more? It's a funny tefillah. Because of our sins, we were exiled, we were distanced from our land, and we can't do all these mitzvahs. We have a right to say that to Hashem? Are we doing the mitzvahs that we have the opportunity to do? Are we doing all of them? Are we fulfilling all of obligations that we can now ask for more? If this is his question, then this must be the solution too. This must be the solution. Because we think about it, if there's a class complaining to their teacher that we want to learn more, we want to learn even more subjects, we want harder tests, the teacher's scratching his head, he says, I don't understand you. You're not listening to the material that I'm teaching now. And all the tests that I give you, you complain are too hard. And now you're asking for more? And this is what we're asking, says the Alter of Kelm. We're saying, Hashem, we really want more obligations. More obligations. Hashem says, are you doing the obligations that you do have the opportunity, that you do have the ability to do? Are you happy with all those mitzvahs? So it must be that's the solution. That's the key, that's at least the first step to approaching the thought in this time of year about the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Davening once again that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt and understanding that if we're asking for more obligations, the ones that we're lacking, we should be asking ourselves first, what about the mitzvahs that we already are doing? What about the mitzvahs that we have the ability to do? Do we appreciate them? And we appreciate those mitzvahs, then we'll have a right to start asking for more. Then we'll have a right that Hashem bring back the Beis HaMikdash, and then all 613 mitzvahs, plus the 7 mitzvahs that are rabbinically imposed, which equal keser, the crown. We want to give a crown to you, Hashem. Now we could only do only half of those mitzvahs. And we've checked all of those off, and we want to do more. But first, we have to make sure that we've fulfilled our necessary obligations. As David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. We have to serve Hashem all the time, and we have to do mitzvahs all the time. And indeed, that's why we have to be b'simcha all the time. When Chazal tell us, Mishenichnes av mematim b'simcha, it didn't mean to do less mitzvahs. It meant that the other things that occupy our lives in terms of other enjoyments, that has to be minimized. But they didn't mean to minimize the level of mitzvah observance that we do. But Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha means we have to serve Hashem at all times b'simcha. That's because we always have to be doing mitzvahs. We always have to be performing mitzvahs for Hashem. It's a funny thing. I believe everybody here does mitzvahs all the time. We keep Shabbos, Kashrus, we do Chesed. Are we not doing mitzvahs? We make brachas, we bench. Are we not doing mitzvahs all the time? It's a funny thing to say that we first have to make sure we're doing these mitzvahs. As Rav Shimshon Pinkus points out, says many mitzvahs we're able to do, we're able to fulfill in the proper way, it would seem. And there's one mitzvah that we find is very hard to accomplish. Certainly, us in our generation. And that's the mitzvah of crying on Tisha B'Av. Just why is that? We do so many other mitzvahs. Why is it when we sit on the floor on Tisha B'Av, we can't bring ourselves to cry? As the halacha would demand, that's what we should be feeling. That's the emotion that should be brought out. And he explains, you know, because it's very easy to bake matzahs and eat matzahs and light Hanukkah candles and eat around the Shabbos table and rejoice on Purim and all the mitzvahs that we have to do, because you can do that almost robotically. You could just program a machine, you can program a computer to do that. And it seems like we're fulfilling those mitzvahs appropriately. But you can't make a robot cry. You can't program our machine, okay, now we have to cry. And that's really where the proof is, if we're really doing all those mitzvahs properly. Or we're just doing them by rote. We're just doing them mechanically. So we really need to take stock if indeed the mitzvahs that we have the ability to do, are we doing them properly? And more so, not halachically speaking, but are we doing them b'simcha? Are we doing them b'simcha? Are we doing them with a sense of enjoyment? Are we enjoying life? Life as we know it is to serve Hashem. Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha. You have to serve Hashem with joy. You have to enjoy doing it. Do we enjoy doing mitzvahs? Are we enjoying life? Well, you might ask, okay, so I don't like every mitzvah. Doesn't give me the greatest excitement, but I'm doing them. I'm doing them. I checked it off. I've learned this daily halacha. I've learned this daily sefer. I've said my tehillim. I've done my chesed for the day. I keep Shabbos, kosher. I'm doing all the mitzvahs. What do you want from me? Is it so bad that someone does the mitzvahs and so they're not enjoying themselves so much? Let's remember what the Mesilas Yesharim says in his first chapter. Mesilas Yesharim says why we're here on this world and why Hashem created us. V'hine, Masha Hirunu Chazal, what our rabbis have taught us, Sha'odam Le Nivra Elalis Anegal Hashem, that a person is only created for enjoyment in this world with Hashem. And to be able to take pleasure in the presence of Hashem. This is the ultimate and only true pleasure. And the greatest bliss that a person can find. This blissful state will be in the next world, because that world was created appropriately for that state and that enjoyment. There are two things here. There's lehis anegal Hashem. One is supposed to find enjoyment in life. And then there's a higher level, the Eden HaGodol, which is greater mikol ha'idulim, the greatest pleasure that a person can have that the Torah itself couldn't describe, couldn't express for us in words what that pleasure is like, because we can't relate to it. It's in another world. But yet lehis anegal Hashem, that we're supposed to enjoy ourselves, that requirement is in this world. We are obligated to enjoy ourselves in this world. How does one enjoy themselves? How do we enjoy ourselves? Mesilas Yesharim continues by doing the mitzvahs. The vehicle for us to have enjoyment in this world is through mitzvahs. So if we ask ourselves, I'm doing the mitzvahs, some of them seem like a burden, some of them I'm not so crazy about, but I do them anyway because I know I have to do them. Is that so terrible? Well, with the with the backdrop of what the Mesillas Yesharim just told us, let's try to think of the following example. A parent sends a child away for summer camp, 4 weeks in a summer camp. At the end of the 4 weeks, the child comes home and the parent says, "So, did you have a good time?" "No." "Really? Did you participate in the activities?" "Yeah." "Oh, did you eat all the meals?" "Yeah." "So did you have a good time?" "No." "You didn't." "Did you play sports?" "Yep." "Did you sing when they told you to sing?" "Yep." "You did everything they told you to do?" "Yep, everything you did." "Well, did you go swimming?" "Yep, go swimming." "Did you have a good time?" "Nope." A waste of money. Not for the parent, that's a waste of money. I send the child to camp to have a good time, to enjoy them, to enjoy himself. Right? So he did everything he was supposed to do, and he didn't enjoy it. Hashem says, "I created people here. I created yidden in this world so they should enjoy themselves. And they're going to come to me after the trip is up, that journey to this world, going to say, 'I did everything you told me to do, Hashem.'" "Really? Did you enjoy it?" "No." Hashem says, "I wasted it sending this neshama to this world." Hashem says, "I created the neshama in this world. He should enjoy the living in this world." That's the way Hashem looks at it. That's Hashem's perspective. So that's the question here: are we enjoying life? Are we enjoying life? Life means serving Hashem. Life means doing the mitzvahs that Hashem commanded us to do. And if we don't do them with enjoyment, then we're like the boy that goes to camp and does everything he's supposed to do, but yet never had an exciting day in the entire summer. Never enjoyed himself. So we need to talk a little bit about the idea of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Appreciating mitzvahs, enjoying mitzvahs. Because this is what Hashem sent us here. And if we can get at least some appreciation for the mitzvahs that we are able to do now, even bereft of the Beis HaMikdash, even in this state of Galus, then we have a right to say, "Hashem, look, we're trying our hardest. With everything you allow me to do, I'm doing and I'm appreciating and I'm enjoying myself. I'm having tainug in this world as you wanted me to have. But now I want even more than that. Now I want to have even more enjoyment. And I want even more mitzvahs. And that's why I ask that you should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash." It would be a good idea to learn what Simcha Shel Mitzvah is. Because the Svarim tell us, Reb Chaim Knievsky brings in his Sefer Arachos Yosher, that blessings in this world come on account of a person appreciating the mitzvahs. And we'll explain from the Kuzari what the idea of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, and it will make perfect sense why that is. The Kuzari writes, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, that every mitzvah that Hashem offers to a person, that Hashem gives the opportunity to a person to fulfill, is an invitation. It's an invitation. Hashem is inviting the person. Here's an opportunity to do this mitzvah. This is an invitation for you to connect with me. This is an invitation for you to sit at my banquet table that I'm getting ready all these years. And when you come to the next world, you will be able to sit at my table and appreciate all of the delicious foods that are given out at that banquet. You'll be able to sit at the table with the king himself, with Hashem himself. That's what a mitzvah is. So the Kuzari goes on to explain. Let's think about the following scenario. Imagine you receive an invitation in the mail. Very fancy invitation. With bows and ribbon and three envelopes, all the extra envelopes that you need, all in this one invitation. And you finally open until you get to the invitation, beautifully done, beautifully written, and its invitation to the wedding of the year. This wedding is made by the wealthiest person in the city. Everybody knows about this person. And his one daughter, one child, is getting married. Oh, and everybody wanted to be invited to this wedding. It would be the most exquisite wedding in the fanciest hotel with a 36-piece band and a 6-course meal. Everybody would want to come to this wedding. And a person gets the invitation to this wedding. And it's real, it's authentic. And they open up the wedding. And there indeed, it's addressed to them. And they're invited to this wedding. A person is excited. As they're opening the invitation, there's excitement mounting. The person already, he's salivating because he can think about the 6-course meal. Yeah, and he's already getting his earplugs ready for the 36-piece band. He's already, there's excitement building up. Right, now one second. He hasn't, the wedding's in 6 weeks from now. Yeah, he hasn't sat down at the table. He hasn't heard the band start playing. What are you so excited about? Why is the person so excited? They're excited because they've received the invitation. This is the invitation that will get me into that banquet hall. The Kuzri says every mitzvah that Hashem sends our way is an invitation. You do this mitzvah, that will be your invitation. That will be your entry into the banquet that Hashem will make. That will be even more exquisite than the fanciest wedding in our wildest dreams. So the fact that we have that opportunity to do that mitzvah, that should build up excitement in a person. He hasn't even done the mitzvah yet. But the fact that he has the opportunity to do that mitzvah, that is what Simcha Shel Mitzvah is. It's the invitation to sit by Hashem's table. The Torah tells us in Parshas Kisavo that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we were sent into exile and depicted in graphic terms, and the Ramban says it refers to the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. And why did all this happen? The Torah tells us on account that you served Hashem without simcha. Tachas Hashem lo avadet Hashem lekecho b'simcha uvetuv levav. Now, and we were talking about high levels over here, and that the Kuzri is saying, you know, to have a Simcha Shel Mitzvah, it's a great, certainly someone who could achieve that level of excitement of a mitzvah, but if I don't have that excitement, so Hashem says, you're being punished, you're being sent into exile, you're going to be made to suffer. Well, if we understand the Kuzri, I think this is how we have to depict the scene. Okay? Change the wedding. This is not the wedding of the wealthiest person in town. But this is the wedding of someone who you know in shul, and who came to your simchas, and you get the invitation in the mail. Not a lot of bows and ribbons, not very fancy, only one envelope, not calligraphy, just a sticker, and you open up the invitation and you look at it and you say, oh, I have to go to this wedding. And then you turn around and you didn't realize, but the person who's making the wedding was standing behind you. Oh, that's mortifying. But aside from being very embarrassed, an embarrassing situation, what you've said is that you've invited me to your wedding and I really have no interest in going, but I will go to fulfill my obligation. And then we'll give the nimshal to this story. Okay, let's give another talk about another scene that may also be familiar with some of us, just as that first story about having to go to the wedding. Here's another scene. A person just finished eating and they get a phone call. Could they come? Oh yeah, sure, I'll meet you, no problem. And they put on their coat, they're about to go out the door, and they say, oh, I have to bench. And then they turn around and Hashem is standing right there. So is it a wonder that Hashem says, you know, I offer these opportunities one after the next. I make them very easy sometimes. Some of them don't look like they're packaged with great ribbons and cellophane and fancy invitations, but each one is an invitation. And Hashem says, when you say that to me, when you say, oh, I have to, that's what Hashem says, I'm making the wedding here, and that's what you're saying about coming to my wedding? You really have no interest at all. But you'll do it. But you'll do it, and you'll go sit down, you'll mumble the words, you'll get through it. Is it any wonder why Hashem says, Tachas Hashem avaritas Hashem lekecha besimcha v'tov leivav? There's an interesting pasuk, two psukim. And one of the last Nevi'im, Malachi, very interesting psukim. The Navi says, on behalf of Hashem, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Navi says that Hashem has the following to tell you, Klal Yisrael. He says, "Chazku alai b'divreichem," Amar Hashem. Hashem says that your words are very strong to me. You've spoken very harshly. V'amartem, and then you, Bnei Yisrael, Jewish people say, "Man nidbarnu alecha." What did we say? We didn't say anything against Hashem. Chas v'shem, we wouldn't say anything against Hashem. The Navi continues, "Amartem, you said, shav avoid elikim." There's no point. It's worthless to serve Hashem. Oma betza, and what do we gain? Ki shamarnu mishmarte. What do we gain by keeping His mitzvahs? This is a very strange dialogue going on over here. Says the Aldov Slabotko, one second. Bnei Yisrael said that it's worthless to serve Hashem. And Hashem comes in and says, you know, you have spoken very harshly. Your words are very strong. Chazku alai divreichem, Amar Hashem. Your words are very strong. And Hashem is upset. And we have the chutzpah to say, we? What did we say? We didn't say anything, Hashem. I mean, who do we think we're fooling? You know, my Rebbe used to always give the mashal. You know, the Rebbe turns around to the board, he's writing something on the board, and some wisecrack in the class screams out something against the Rebbe. The Rebbe turns around and says, who said that? Nobody wants to say. Nobody wants to say. And he thinks this one child says, did you say that? Me? No, Rebbe, I didn't say that. Well, he could lie to his Rebbe because his Rebbe doesn't know. Somebody says something, not only somebody, all of Bnei Yisrael says at the time, the Bnei Yisrael at the time say, it's worthless to serve Hashem. And then Hashem says, you know, you've spoken in very strong terms. And I'm upset about that, Hashem says. And he said, no, who? We? No, we didn't say anything. What, do you think we're going to lie to Hashem? Hashem knows that we said that. So we know that Hashem knows that we said that. And He knows that we know. So who are we trying to fool? So the Altav Slabotka says, it must be, we have to understand what this pasuk means, is of course, Chas v'Shalom. No one expressed clearly, no one articulated the words and said, it's worthless to serve Hashem. If they said that, they wouldn't have the audacity to lie and say Hashem didn't say anything. So certainly that's not what happened. So what happened? It must be they were serving Hashem. But inside, when they were doing the mitzvahs, what were they thinking? They were thinking, this is a drag. They were thinking, oy, I have to go back to bench. Oy, I have to go to this wedding too. And Hashem says, Chosko alai divreichem. To me, Hashem says, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're saying inside. And I send the Navi to tell you, Chosko alai divreichem. And you say, what did we say? Did we actually say something? Maybe we're not even conscious of what our words were inside, what our thoughts were when we were doing the mitzvahs. And Hashem spells it out. You were saying, Shav Aved Elokim. You were saying, it's not all worth it. I'd rather be doing something else. So this is the attitude that they had the times of the Navi speaking to them. This is the attitude they had at the times of the Beis HaMikdash, where they served Hashem, they did the mitzvahs, but they didn't do so with joy. They weren't enjoying life. Hashem says, I put you in this world to enjoy life. And I gave you the prescription of how to enjoy life. To enjoy doing the mitzvahs. To enjoy fulfilling the Torah. And this is what I want you to do. And if you're not enjoying yourself, you're not excited about the mitzvahs, you're not doing them with any sense of appreciation, Hashem says that I'm wasting my time. Inside you're saying, really, what's it all worth in the end? So we have to understand what the Kuzari is saying. The Kuzari is saying that every mitzvah that we have is an invitation to the chasaran that Hashem will make. That can give us an appreciation for mitzvahs. That already can give us a sense of simcha, a sense of joy, of excitement, already when the opportunity to do a mitzvah comes our way. Let's take one category of mitzvahs. We'll try to focus on one category of mitzvahs. That's a favorite of mine, and it's something that comes up all the time. It's not Yom Tov, which just comes periodically, but it's something that we have to do every day. We do it every day. It's something that's easy to do. It's not a burdensome mitzvah or category of mitzvahs. And it's something that brings with it, if done properly, it's something that brings with it great bracha. And what is that category of mitzvahs that I'm referring to? The mitzvah of saying brachas. Do you ever think like bracha that we say and brachas that we receive, why that's the same word? A bracha is to say a blessing. And a bracha is like we get a bracha from Hashem. Why is it the same word? Because one depends on the other. When we indeed say brachas properly, Hashem says that I'm going to give you bracha. You appreciate saying a bracha, I will give you bracha. It's as simple as that. We may be familiar with an episode that happened in the times of David HaMelech, where there was a terrible plague, and 100 Jews were dying daily. And nobody knew why, until David HaMelech, only Beruach HaKodesh, through looking into it, and bringing himself to a level where he was able to attain Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, was able to figure out a way to stop this epidemic. To stop the people from dying. 100 people a day. And he instituted at that time, and he meant it for all times, as it is brought in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch, until today applies as an obligation. Certainly for men, according to some, even women, most Pesachim doesn't apply to women, that he instituted to say, Meya brachis b'chol yom. 100 brachis daily. And with that, the plague stopped. With that, the people stopped dying. He was once an Adam Gadol, a great person, a big Talmud Chacham, who was very sick. And he came to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and he asked him for an Eitzah. He asked him for advice, what he should do about his illness. Shlomo Zalman, in his humility, says, you know, I It's not for me to advise you, such a great person, what to do, how to respond to this, how to act. He said, but if it was me, I would just tell you what I would do. I would try to improve my Meir Brachas B'chol Yom. That's what I would do. I would try to improve the Brachas that I make. What the word Baruch means, what the word Atah means, what we're supposed to have in mind by Hashem. Elokeinu Melech Olam, how many words is it already? For a short Bracha, to make a Bracha, Shakol Niyem B'vari, talking about 7, 8, 9 words, Hamotzi Lechem Menar, it's 10 words. How long could it take already? Not for most of us, it doesn't take so long. But he said, oh, I would improve on that. Improving it means that it should take a few extra seconds, at least to articulate the words, at least they should be audible, to at least myself. Hashem shouldn't have to read my lips or my mind. That's what he said he would do. I'll tell you Chassidus Shemaisa. So a person who came to the Biala Rebbe in Poland, he was very sick, and he asked the Rebbe for a bracha, and the Rebbe told him, if you accept upon yourself right now that you will say brachas bekavana, that you will say brachas properly, I assure you the illness will go away. Says, that's it? Yeah, the Rebbe says, you want to live? Of course I want to live. Says, accept this upon yourself, you'll say brachas properly, and you'll be fine. Rebbe, I accept upon myself wholeheartedly. Good, terrific. He tells the Gabbai, bring a lachayim. No, bring out some schnapps, pours two glasses, come, we'll make a lachayim. The person is placed, says, Rebbe, you don't understand. This schnapps will destroy my kidneys. The doctor, I've been offered this for a long, I can't. The Rebbe says, I don't understand. You would just accept it upon yourself that you're going to say, you'll make the bracha shahako properly, no more illness. Now, this is not halacha l'maisa, don't try this at home, to do such a thing. That's why it's a chassidus shemaisa, just to be taken for the lesson that could be learned, not that we should try to imitate it. And that's what the person did, and he got better. Because a bracha brings bracha. And that's where Shlomo Zalman advised. But how did this work? Let's try to explain. How did this work to stop the plague of 100 people dying? Okay, let's try to understand it through the words of Rav Shimshon Pinkus. He explains the following. He says, when you have a relationship between people who are very close, when things don't go well, then the relationship is terrible. When there's a relationship of people who are very close, family members, siblings, spouses, husband and wife, but when they get into a fight, terrible destruction. People who are good, upstanding, civilized people could turn into animals when it gets to a terrible fight. That's the way it is. That's just the nature of things. Somehow they're so close, but yet when they can't get along with each other, destruction, it's fire. And that's the way it is with us and Hashem. When we can't get along with Hashem, there's terrible destruction. Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Millions are murdered. Terrible suffering. When we can't get along with Hashem, not just, okay, so we don't have that relationship, terrible destruction occurs. But what's the first thing we have to do when we're trying to restore, when we're trying to repair a relationship? The first thing that has to be done is proper communication. Without that, there's no point in trying to repair this relationship. And David HaMelech, with Ruach HaKodesh, understood that's the first thing we have to do. The first thing we have to address when there is this rift, when there's this fight between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we can't get along somehow, and therefore fire breaks out, destruction occurs, we have to rebuild the relationship. We have to repair it and start with communication. We have to get back on talking terms. The way we get back on talking terms is 100 times a day, at minimum, we start talking to Hashem again. Hashem gives us food, we thank Hashem for the food. We finished it, we thank Hashem for that. During our daily experience with Hashem, we praise Him, we ask Him for things, we thank Him in the 18 brachas, 19 brachas in Shmona Esrei. That's what David HaMelech understood. That's what has to be done. And that's what a bracha is. The brachas that we make are a way for us to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Simple as that. We wouldn't know necessarily if one gets into a fight with someone that they love, whether it be a parent or a child or a spouse, when they want to make up, what should they say? They can't find the words to say. So what do? They go to the Hallmark store, and somebody sat and thought of the right words to say at each occasion. And that's what Anshei Knesset HaGedolah did. The men of the Great Assembly, they formulated brachas. David HaMelech said, we have to repair this relationship. So 100 times a day at minimum, we will speak to Hashem again. Get back on talking terms. Have a communication. How should we say? What should we say exactly? Anshei Knesset HaGedolah did us that favor. On this occasion, you open up this card. Say this bracha. Baruch Pri Eitz. And for this, you say that bracha. And for thanking, you say this way. And for praising, you say it that way. They gave us the formula. It's very easy for us. It's constant. It's easy to do. All it takes is getting ourselves out of our lazy state and saying it properly and spending a few extra seconds in saying it properly and audibly with a little bit of concentration, a little thought into what we're doing. And that those brachas will bring brachas onto us. It will help us restore our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Misha, a beautiful thought. It's getting late till, well, end very soon. Beautiful thought that my Rebbe says over from his Rebbe, Rebbe Elia Lapyan. This evening it was raining outside. There was thunder. It's interesting that after it's thundering, it starts raining. We all notice that, right? It thunders and then it rains. So, what were we taught as children? Why is it that after it thunders, it rains?
Because the sound waves move.
Something with the sound waves, maybe the clouds bang together and that's what it is, and then all the water inside starts falling, or maybe there's really something scientific about it that we can have an explanation, but what does one have to do with the other? On top of that, if we understand what our Chazal tell us, why does it thunder? The Gemara tells us in Brachos, the reason why Hashem makes the thunder is in order to straighten out the crookedness in us. In order for us to get a little jolt, to jump a little bit, when there's the clap of thunder, it's Hashem clapping His hands. Hashem wants us to, ooh, I remember this Hashem in the world. And we make a bracha for that. Shekoichai u'gvurasai. That His strength, His power, fills the world. So what does that have to do with rain? If that's what it's for, so Hashem, whenever you feel you want to jolt us back into reality that you exist, so just let it thunder. Why is it connected to rain? So Rav Elia Lapyan said like this. Now really what Hashem wants to do, Hashem wants to make it rain. Hashem wants to give bracha, gishmei bracha. He wants to give rain, He wants to give blessing. That we should be able to have the necessary rain for the crops to grow. It's bracha. Hashem wants to give it, but Hashem says, you know, the world is really not at the state that I can give rain. So Hashem says, so I'll make it thunder. And when it thunders, then they'll say a bracha. And if they say the bracha properly, you say, ah, now they said a bracha properly. Now I can give my bracha. Now I can make it rain. You ever notice sometimes it only rains for 5 minutes and then it goes on? What happened? Probably because only three people said the bracha properly. And you know when we need a lot of rain and then it rains for an extended period of time? Because by that time there were many people that said the bracha properly. So we want to walk away this evening with something concrete. If we're enjoying life, because Hashem wants us to enjoy life. Hashem says, I created people, his anegel Hashem, that they should have enjoyment, find enjoyment, be excited about things in this world. About which things? About mitzvahs. Small, big, easy, hard. Be excited about the mitzvahs that I give you, Hashem says. Be excited. Show me that you appreciate them. Show me that you consider it as if it's an invitation to the great banquet. Show me that you appreciate that I've created you. And in an easy way, to start working on it. To then show Hashem, yes, we do appreciate it. And we appreciate it so much that we want to ask for more of them. We want to ask for more mitzvahs to get a better seat at that table, at the banquet, Lo Asad Lavi. Give us more mitzvahs, we build the Beis HaMikdash. And one way to start with it, I believe is an easy way, is saying brachas properly. And it comes with such tremendous bracha, tremendous segula with it. To keep away illness. To help cure. To give bracha. To give parnasa. Did you ever notice that after benching Birchas HaMazon, we say a lot of Rachman, 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 Rachman. Those are all requests. Chafetz Chaim explains why do we have a whole list of requests right after we bench. He says, because that's the most opportune time to ask. We just said brachas. Now the gate is open. Hashem says, you just said brachas properly. Now you could ask. Now I'm ready to give you bracha. Chafetz Chaim was once sitting next to somebody who was benching the fourth bracha of benching. You know the one who hated v'maitiv v'yaitiv lanu shebuchol yem v'yem v'hated v'maitiv v'yaitiv lanu v'chein v'chesu. And the person was saying it, like most of us say benching. And after he finished ayichas reinu, the Chafetz Chaim says, "Do you know that you just asked Hashem for 15 things? 15 things, I do." Yeah, l'chein, chesed, rachamim, l'ravach, hatzola, hatzlacha, bracha, shua, yeshua, nechama, parnasa, chalkola, v'rachamim, v'chayim, v'shalim, v'choltuv. Whoa. Imagine. Used to be the teenager would come home, Dad, can I have the keys to the car? No, now he said, Dad, can I have this, 15 things. Rattled off. Oh, I can't even hear what you're saying. What? Say it slowly. What were you asking for? And we say, Hashem, can you give us Hashem? And that's what we're asking for. So this is one thing that we could, I believe, use to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we understand that we're lacking. We were the ones who caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And we understand that it's a chutzpah to ask for the Beis HaMikdash because we want to do more mitzvahs when we're not even fulfilling the mitzvahs that we have now to do in this proper way. And maybe we're not even appreciating them properly. And we're not really so excited about them. But at least this is a way to start. Show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we do appreciate them. We do appreciate them. And we say brachas a little bit more carefully. I'll tell you a story. Now it's very late. I'll tell you a story that, like the Chafetz Chaim says, when a story makes an impression upon a person, you can remember it years and years later. This is something that happened 30 years ago. Just before Bar Mitzvah, my father took my brother and myself to visit the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. Who is that? Rabbi Yehuda Segel. He lived in Manchester, England. Didn't come so often to America. But he was coming to America and he came to his relative in Borough Park, and my father took us there. It's a long line of people. But my father has connections, so we got in somehow. Okay. And we're waiting over there, and it was our turn, but the Rosh Hashiva, the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, he had to excuse himself. Right? He went out. He was an elderly man. He went, did what he had to do. He came back, and his gabbai brings him his hat. He puts on his hat. He sits down at the table, and then he says, "Asher Yotzer." And it takes a couple of minutes, and he finished. And then he gave back his hat, and then he continued with the line. Right, so you know why. He has all the time in the world. That's why he could say, Brock, he said, but I'm very busy. I'm doing a lot of things. I don't have time to sit down every time I say the Brock of Asher Yotzer. I mean, right? I assume he didn't do it only when he was 85 years old. He probably started earlier than that. But that's saying a bracha properly. Maybe we're not holding there yet. Sitting down by every bracha that we make, saying it audibly, but we should start with the brachas. That shows Hashem, I'm ready to start my communication back. I'm ready to get back the relationship. We should have a talking relationship once again. Once we start that, then we have a right to ask for more. And the brachas themselves, we need that extra motivation. The brachas themselves only bring bracha. The 100 brachas a day, or as many as we can make, those brachas only bring in its way more and more brachas. The bracha of Birchas Hamazon bring tremendous bracha. And that's why we say all the harachmans afterwards. This is a way that we could show HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Indeed, we enjoy life. We want to enjoy life. We want to enjoy life even more. Hashem says, the way you enjoy life is with connecting with me, with appreciating who I am. To have tainug, to have enjoyment, but it should be with Hashem.